Yeah. Endless love that will last through all eternity. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts, the book of Acts. I tell you that, and a lot of times I hardly ever read from it, just start us out. We're going to be in the book of Acts multiple places, but let's just start reading in the seventh chapter and read just a couple of verses there, the seventh chapter. Don't forget all the revivals that's going on around us. Pray for them. Go to them if you possibly can. Vacation Bible School's at Smyrna this week, so remember these things. Acts chapter number 7. Stephen, if you'll recall, and we're not going to stay in this part long. As you'll recall, Stephen was a man full of faith. He trusted God. And his testimony preceding what we're going to read is amazing. It's just verse after verse of what he had learned from the scriptures. And when you are start learning about the scriptures, God puts them kind of in our minds. We may not remember every detail, but if we remember the highlights of the verses, that means something to me. Okay? Does that make sense? There's a lot of the scriptures that I have in my memory and you have in your memory may be different. We don't all sit there and agree on John 3:16. That's the best one in the Bible. You know, but that doesn't mean that we don't love John 3:16. That means what's in our heart, what God's put in our heart to understand, that has a special meaning. That's what we call them, our favorite verses. When we put them in there, it's easy to talk about them. It's easy to relate to them. Stephen was no different. He had a meaning, but the message that he delivered on that day, man, it was a home run. Now, the home run was to himself in pleasing God. In pleasing God. Because the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness. So the people that were hearing it, the majority of them, and I would say them all, but we don't know how many of God's folks was around, but the majority of them, they despised it. They hated it. They got angry over it. And in our environment right now today, we don't have that right now. If you don't like me, okay, that's your problem. That ain't mine. But if you don't like me and the preaching that I do, you know what you'll do? You'll go somewhere else. But if you're out of the will of God, when you go somewhere else, you're going to get a whipping down yonder too. It ain't going to change. Where the problem is whenever you're in God's will and God, man, God just tears your hide up, and you do nothing. All right? Well, watch this. When you're out of the will of God or never been saved, when you're out of the will of God or never been saved, when the word goes out, sometimes it causes you to get angry. Sometimes when you're lost, it'll actually cause you to be violent. In this case. But sometimes this is when God has given you, I would say, your last chance. It is that strong. Because I want to tell you, God can terminate our life just that quick. And if you're hearing the word as a warning, as a warning, God can turn your life off or turn you over to the devil. I don't know which is worse. When you're lost, you're in bad shape. Because there is no alternative between heaven or hell. There is no other location that you can go to be better off. So we're going to pick up the story. We're not going to read the story about Stephen because you know it well. We're not actually going to just read a little. And then we're going to skip back to something that I believe is very important that I want you to listen to. So reading from that, look at verse 51 where it says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Powerful words, isn't it? That had to be God telling him that. Watch this. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Did they leave off any? Did they skip any? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now, or ye been now, the betrayers and murderers, who having received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I don't know how many times you read that, how many times you grab it. Only if you was there would it made some physical sense. When somebody just latches on to you and just having a mad dog fit. Watch this, one more verse. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. That's a good one right there, boy. That's a good one. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the understanding, God. We just pray you help us all, God, tonight to just grow stronger, be more thankful. God, we know we're blessed all because of you. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If we look at that, we could say, man, what kind of person is able to deliver such a strong and powerful message? I mean, Stephen. I'm aware, if I would have said Paul, we'd all jumped on that bandwagon and said, man, look at here, another message of Paul. If we'd have looked at Apostle Peter, said, man, whoo, what a powerful message. This is Stephen. Stephen. You know, I believe last week, and I'm don't quote me, but one day in the past week or so, we had a TV evangelist to pass on. And he done got up there in about that 90-year-old range, somewhere in that general vicinity. And as his younger days proved, and if you go back to way younger, I couldn't tell you the year, that rascal could at one time preach. He sure could. If you heard him in his earlier days, man, he was one of them fireballs. He'd jump up there and let her rip and snort, and he'd just go on and, man, whoo. There's been others that have been great preachers through the years. Sometimes it don't pan out always. Not my job to criticize. Try not to no more than every Sunday, but we'll leave it alone at that. But the truth of it is, a lot of times the preaching of the gospel is so powerful and strong, you'll know the difference between man and God. There's a big difference. Man and God, when man gets involved in something, he don't prove out. Somehow another, things just don't work. But when the powerful message is delivered, powerful results happen. That powerful message caused Stephen to die. Oh Lord. Was that what was needed? Is it because if he hadn't a priest, he'd still be alive? Not now, but then. But because of that powerful message, he died that day. Wow, there was something good in there, though. I'm going to leave that right now. I want you to read early part of chapter number 6. The early part. I don't have the time to go through all of this. So I'm going to skip spots of it. I want you to hear. Chapter 1, verse chapter 6, verses 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in a daily ministration. And they said in verse 2 that the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, every one of us in this room know these verses. Every one of us in this room understand this is where we get our deacons from. That ain't no surprise. Well, watch this. Verse 3, whom you look out, 7 men of honor support, full of the Holy Ghost. Man, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom. Whom you may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I'm going to just read the first part of verses 5 and we're going to skip down. And the saying pleased the whole multitude and they chose Stephen, same man that preaches that message, the same man that's going to die, and he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He made the qualifications. He had the message. God gave him the message a little bit later on. And he is the one. Notice now. Notice what was so important about this. Verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed. Now we know, if being in church, we know an ordination service. We know all that process. Watch this. When they had prayed and when they had laid their hands on them, don't take that as a bunch of foolishness. Take that as something that you're putting an endorsement on them. And let me go on. They laid their hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God increased. The word of God increased. That was the number one reason for chapter 6 creating those deacons, putting those people in place so that the preaching would continue. They were not to stop their preaching. They didn't, if I can say it in plain old country boy terms, it wasn't time to stop to take care of tables. It wasn't time to do something else. It was time for preaching. Now, there's a time that you visit the sick. There's a time that you call somebody. There's a time that you do these things. But friend, when it comes time for preaching, there's nothing else we'll do. Not a thing. There's nothing no more important in this world than the preaching of the gospel. When we get our minds and our hearts and our way of doing things off of that, when we get ourselves saying, well, we need to build a bigger church. Well, we need to do more in our church. We need to have a better Sunday school program. Friend, if we do that, that's the reason the churches are suffering all across our land. Because the preaching of the gospel is what's going to see folks saved. Not the preacher of the gospel, but the preaching of the gospel. When we get our minds right. Now listen, verse 7 said, the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied. Folks was getting saved. They multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, not just onesie twosies. Friend, we rarely hear of folks getting saved. But yet there's people still being born. There's still people, I mean, go to any big town you want to and they're folks is everywhere. Friend, if you catch Moulton on rush hour, you may have to slow down 4 or 5 seconds. But really, in reality, there's traffic jams in Muscle Shoals where I live. It only lasts a couple of minutes. But go to Nashville. Oh my gosh. What I'm trying to say is there's folks everywhere. Go to the mall. Well, we don't have them anymore. Go to Walmart. You can find them there. The truth of it is, there's folks, but they're not getting saved. There's folks, but not a bunch are getting saved. I got to go on because that's not the message. So that was the second part. The word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied, and a great company of the priest, were obedient to the faith. Three things happened. One verse, all because they chose to to follow the word of God and not stop what they were doing. Now I want you to listen. How does God work today? How does God work? If I go back and I can pick any example I want to, and I'm just going to go back to the Old Testament, I'm going to say to David. One day, David's dad says, well, David, I need you to go check on the brothers. I want you to go. They're in battle. They should be here or down this path or down this road. Go that way and start, and you'll figure out. Well, they were easy to find. David traveled along, and God's folks were stopped, and they hadn't proceeded any further. The devil had got into this rascal, and this rascal, he had stopped the work of God. It was, they couldn't go no further. This guy was 10 foot tall, 14 foot wide, big as an elephant, all that kind of stuff. We can talk about Goliath all we want to. But the reality of it, we think the devil had him stopped. Well, you know, that's kind of what was going on in Stephen's day, we would think. The devil done raised his ugly head and got things stopped. Or, let's look at it another way. Because if you'll remember the Bible, when David showed up, he didn't know anything was wrong. He was just happy-go-lucky, delivering the food for his brothers. How's the war going? Everything was hunky-dory. Until if that rascal Goliath had just kept his mouth shut, he still might be alive today. But he couldn't. He spoke up at the wrong time. Whenever he spoke up, God had David's ear plugged in and tuned in. And whenever he heard what Goliath had to say, he was almost like looking at them brothers and say, brothers, what in the world are you still sitting here for? Now, that's not in the scripture. He didn't eyeball them, that I know, but he should have. Why in the world would you let somebody openly defy God like Goliath did? We got them in our day. We got them everywhere. We got folks all around us that will openly defy God and just spit in his face. Boy, if I was God, I'd burn him. Ain't the way God works. Boy, if I was in charge, they'd be in trouble. I ain't charge. Listen, I can give you an example after example, because when David heard that, he was not going to have it. Now, you heard me say that Goliath was the one. You heard me say Goliath was the one that stopped God's folks. You heard me say that. You actually, if you would have listened very carefully, I almost said that even though King Saul, he wasn't going to fight. The reality of it is God knew exactly what he was doing. God sent David. But look how it took the journey. God had to tell David's daddy, or David would have been back there tending them few little sheep. You remember them brothers talking? And it had to be God telling daddy to tell daddy to tell son to go deliver that food to your brothers. See how God works? But when God does that, God let David get stirred up. And you know a person that's stirred up? When they're delivering the message of God, they'll say things like this. They'll do things like this. He goes down there with a slingshot and some rocks and defeats that old giant. And takes the man's own sword and cuts his head off. Things like that just don't happen, do they? But I can give you another example. Now, we don't have the time, but the reality of it is I can go to the Hebrew children. We're not going to bow our knee. Daniel said, I'm not going to stop my praying. Every time when somebody would defile God, it took those folks to say, nope, not going to kneel. Nope, I'm not stopping my praying. And all of those things, all those things. You know what God did? God blessed them. New Testament. Jesus taking the very ones and going to a spot, let's just use feeding the 5,000. Feeding the 5,000 was nothing to God. A few loaves, a few fish, distributing them out, that was nothing to God. You can take all the miracles that Jesus did, but the ones that really get somebody going is when they see, like the maniac of Gadara sitting and clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. You know what that does? They can hear the horror stories of him in the tombs, crazy man. But you know what it does to God's folks when they hear clothed sitting at the feet of Jesus? They see on one side how things happen. They see on the other side how things happen. It's how you react to what God is showing you. But what he's showing you. Because I want to tell you, the woman at the well made an impact. The maniac of Gadara made an impact. The important folks that sat at the gate and they were halt, withered, and lame. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Friend, that rascal got up and walked. You know where the impact was? The impact is if you saw that or you were the individual. Now let's go back to Acts just a moment. God's folks were not going to stop the gospel. Now we have to focus in our day. We have to focus. You know the reason why we have to focus? How many churches across this land have stopped? And you fill in the blanks of how many services. How many folks, not just counting services, how many folks have stopped going to church? And that's all kinds. And it's all age groups. Because, you know, if we say, well, you know, we don't have nothing for the young folks, and if you don't have nothing for the young folks, then they're not going to come. Young folks just like old folks. You've got to see something that God is showing you in your life. And if God is showing you, it took men that were willing to pray, that was willing to say, we need somebody to do, they got to do something of this. And I don't know how many days transpired in all this, but I don't think it was very long. And here we just now got us some deacons, and doggone, the first day or so, whatever, on a few hours, we got to replace one already. That rascal done got killed. You see my point? If God uses us, and God shows us, and God tells us, it really don't matter how long we serve. It's the serving that counts. It's the quality of service. You ever eat one in fancy restaurants where they put tablecloths, not paper, on your table? Tablecloth, real ones. And if it's a real nice restaurant, they'll have white ones. Because them others, if they put black ones on there, that means you can spill it. We'll still clean it. We'll put it back on there. Really don't. And we really don't have to change it every time. But if you get one of them fancy ones, they'll have them white ones. Ooh, that's pretty. And they'll have real silverware, not plastic. I heard that. I don't know anything in reality. Most of them that I go to have solo cups, not real cups. Sure not glasses. You believe all that, don't you? The truth of it is, there's all quality in life, isn't it? Now, if you settle for them solo cups like we do, we're happy. And I'm not real happy in them fancy restaurants because I sure don't know which one of them forks to pick up, and I sure don't know. I just like to come there to eat, okay? But what happens is if you get used to that, you don't ever want to eat at McDonald's, and I'm not promoting McDonald's because I don't like it. But the truth of it, if you ever get used to that fancy stuff, it's hard to come down to that reality of where we eat most of the time. Watch this. Them folks that God used, they weren't after the fancy. They just so happened to be after what God was leading them. Funny how the Bible is full of examples of people that are willing to do without any regard for what they want. What they want. It'd been very easy for us to say, well, you know, I'd like to be on the riverbank fishing today. Well, it's too hot, but I'd like to be playing golf, or I'd like to cut my grass like my neighbors do, and all that kind of stuff. And the reality of it is, it's kind of like me drinking from a real glass on the white tablecloth of the fancy meal and ordering something that I have no clue what it is. It just don't fit. What fits is when some way or another God's letting you, whenever you're chosen to do something, and I don't take that word well, when Stephen was called to be these early deacon, how short of a job he had. And he was a happy camper. Amen. We won't live long on this earth. It's nice to be happy. You take an old dog. We get a dog sometimes around the house a lot of times. That dog can bark and wag his tail at the same time. He ain't gonna bite. I tell folks, that dog don't never bite nobody. Watch him bite me one day. But the truth of it is, that dog wag that tail, he's just as happy as he can be. But he'll bark and he'll sound so mean, but he'll lick you to death. What is that? It's a contrast. Friend of mine, I'm glad to know that when me and you are serving God, we ought to be happy. Happy. We don't know what our tomorrow is. But every day that God lets us be happy, because even on the day that Stephen died, he was happy. When David fought Goliath, he was happy. Because he wasn't going to let nobody defy God. And when you're doing something that makes you happy, that's pretty good, isn't it? And serving him ought to make us happy. Let's have a song, Brother Greg. 341. When you live for God, there's going to be some happy times, and there's going to be some sad times, we might say. I sure like him happy ones. And I like being able to say, I serve the Lord. And then I like to say, whenever he's through with me here, he'll call me home. May we stand, sing a verse of this song. If you need to come and pray, you just help yourself. Serve him while you can.